Well, good morning, everyone. This message this morning is near and dear to my heart. So I want to start off with a very important question that will set the tone for the entire sermon this morning. And the question is this: what does home feel like for you? What's your memory of home? I want us to think about that for a while. I know the place in my mind. I can see it. I can sense it. I can smell it. I can touch it in my mind's eye. For me, that memory is a warm summer July Sunday afternoon. And I'm sitting in the living room on the flowered fabric couch at my grandpa and grandma Tornabene's. And the couch has plastic covering over it. Nice. Remember that? And when I'd sit on that couch on that warm day, my skin would stick to it, and every movement or reposition I made would create this huge ripping, screeching sound. That was real nice. My grandparents lived on the south side of Cicero, Illinois at that time. Especially back then, Cicero was a strong ethnic neighborhood where you had all these little boroughs, and my grandparents were in the Italian neighborhood. Actually, it was the Sicilian neighborhood. There was a difference to the old timers. The southern Italians had some animosity with the northern Italians. So it was kind of like Chicago White Sox fans versus Chicago Cub fans. So let me start off with my grandma. My grandma was always running around in her brightly colored polyester house dress. We called it a muumuu dress. That was a sight to behold, let me tell you. And my grandma Tornabene had two goals in life. Her first goal was to make everyone feel welcome. She wanted people to feel like they were special and loved and that they belonged at her house. She had a kiss on the cheek for every single person, and she was always talking a mile a minute with her hands with that Italian accent. Her second goal was just as important as the first. That second goal was to feed people. Her love language to others was to make sure your belly was full. She always had a wooden spoon in her hand, not to crack us with, but she was constantly stirring the Sunday spaghetti gravy. Or she was making homemade meatballs or sausage or homemade ravioli. Or making her Italian cookies nonstop and her Italian homemade pastries. There was a constant smell of simmering tomatoes and onions and garlic and cheese and black licorice in her house. Now imagine all this with Italian folk music being played on an old record player. That was my grandma Tornabene. On the other hand, my grandpa Tornabene, he was a real character as well. He looked like he was time warped, fresh out of the boat landing at Ellis Island. He had these thick glasses, he had a full head of salt and pepper hair, and he'd slick it back with olive oil, 100% pure olive oil. And he'd always be talking to us kids, trying to make us laugh with some funny joke or some funny comment in his Italian Chicago accent. All the other relatives would be over at the house on Sunday afternoons as well, in that small living room with the shag carpet, with the 1960s floral print wallpaper, and there'd be these gaudy pineapple lamps everywhere. I kid you not, they had these huge pineapple lamps that had all these beads and fake gems hanging from the base. After that big feast of a meal, and especially all the men would be in a carbohydrate coma, My grandpa and my uncles would have their pants pulled up to their chest. So their belt was right here. The zipper was, you know, right here. And all the men would be taking a nap on that plastic couch in the living room. What a commotion that sound was. Snoring and plastic screeching coming from the living room. The whole day at my grandparents' house was like something out of a movie that they're showing the stereotypical ethnic family all gathered together. It's true. And it was home to me. So let me go back to the question I asked you. What's your memory of home? What are our memories of our home? It's important. I'd give anything to go back and relive those moments at my grandparents' home. Because I was surrounded by people who knew me and loved me and accepted me. Along with my grandma and grandpa, I could see my parents there, my brothers, my sister, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. I don't know how I could be happier or more content in those memories. But the truth is, that place is gone now. Another family makes their own memories in that old house. In person, I can never go back to that scene again. And I've tried to give my children that feeling of home in our house, and I hope they cherish our home's memories the way I did at my grandparents'. But here's the thing, I have an even greater hope, not only for my own children, but for every single one of us here this morning. I hope our church here at New Hope Fellowship feels like home. In fact, I hope it feels even better than home. I hope and pray that this will be a family that loves each other through every stage, through every situation, through every circumstance of life. I hope we feel safe here and welcome and known by the members of this church as brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope that we can even see that the bond of the Holy Spirit among us can be even stronger than the bond we share with our own blood relatives. I want us to know and feel that we are truly surrounded by family, that we do have a home here. And that's so important because if we can feel that our church is home, then I believe that will prepare us for our home that we're going to share for eternity with God. I believe at the core of it, when Christians are looking for a church, they're looking for a home. They don't need a place where they just like the music or the preaching or a place where their kids are happy. Those things are all good, but they're not the core. Rather, people need a church home because growth and relationship can't really happen properly without a home. Scripture actually expects us to be connected deeply with other believers. Ephesians 2:19 says, "So then, you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." See, the Christian life cannot be lived properly as a loner. We were never meant to be lone wolves. But I will say this, you might think at first glance that a church that feels like home would be a real easy thing to pull off. But it's not. It's actually a miracle. Because Christian love, Christ-like service, don't come naturally in our flesh. Our flesh wants to be a loner. Our flesh wants to be in charge. We want to take care of things on our own, and our own power, our own wisdom, from our own set of circumstances, from our own hurts and wounds. So, for instance, praying together with others or welcoming others that are not like us or don't seem to be like us at first. That's not easy. It doesn't come natural for most of us. So the reality is, everything that makes a church feel like home depends on the Holy Spirit working a miracle in all, every single one of us. And as a pastor, the Holy Spirit has been putting it more and more on my heart. He's given me a passion about this. That the best way for me to describe my church family is to describe it as my home. So as one of your pastors here, you know what that makes me? A homemaker. I'm a homemaker. I'm not a CEO type of guy. If you know me, you know that's true. Dan Sargent and myself are not the executive officers here at New Hope Fellowship. Rather, we're called to be shepherds. And Dan and I take that assignment very, very serious. We are homemakers, and we're trying to improve on that each and every single day. Thinking of church as a home instead of a business or an organization changes a lot of things. Here's why. Thinking of church as home, as family, means individual names matter more than the number of people. It means relationships matter more than what style of music we all prefer or what style of preaching we prefer. Or what particular Sunday school curriculum we like best. Christ-grounded relationships matter more in a family. And finally, individual care matters more than just being efficient with our time before, during, and after service. I am firm in the fact that I want to be a shepherd of God's flock more as an older brother than as an executive. Because a Christian older brother's role is to mentor, to guide, to teach, to love, to nurture, and to protect his siblings well. Amen. Scripture constantly refers to Christian fellowship as brothers and sisters together being God's household. Let's look at, start with 1 Timothy 3:15. It says, "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, the pillar and the support of truth." Matthew 24:44-45 says this, "For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think that he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time?" Jesus here is referring to himself as the head of the house, and all of his followers, all of us, we're his household. Hebrews 3:6, "But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." 1 Peter 5:9 says, "But resist him," the devil, "firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." And then finally, Romans 8, starting with verse 15. One of my favorites. "For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." We should be a brotherhood and a sisterhood. God's household is the very definition of the church. We are a Christian household here. We are a family in Christ. At your own house, the family members are the primary concern in a healthy home. And it should be the same way in the church. Think about that for a second and stay with me. Our first concern as a church family is not the lost on the outside, but it's our church members. Our first responsibility is God's household. The Old Testament prophets, the New Testament apostles spent so much of their time addressing the hearts and relationships of God's people. Now, outreach and reaching out to our lost neighborhood and community and our world, that is so, so important. However, effective outreach starts with a healthy church family. Now, I'm not naive to the fact, for many of us, home is not a word that resonates warm, fuzzy memories. The truth is, terrible things can happen in families sometimes. There can be betrayal, can be deep wounds, harmful dysfunction. Sometimes, home, it's not a safe place. But I really believe that God designed the church to be a home, His home, for all people, in all situations, in all life experiences, and in all wounds. Listen to Psalm 68, starting with verse 4. It says, "Sing to God, sing praises to His name, lift up a song for Him who rides through the deserts." He's looking, searching for us through the desert. "Whose name is the Lord, and exalt before Him, a father to the fatherless, a judge to the widow, is God in His holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely, and He leads out prisoners into prosperity." The biological families we grew up in, whether they were healthy and right on target, or heartbreaking and harmful, or somewhere in between, they're not our first family. They're not supposed to be our first family. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are born again into a new family. One that's uniquely different from any family of this world. Why? Because this new family is going to endure for all eternity. In our new family, we will spend eternity with forever and ever. We are children of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. That makes church our first family. And in my opinion, being a part of this family is in every Christian's spiritual DNA. And there's no true Christian anywhere who's not a brother or a sister. So I want to encourage all of us together as a church body to continue making this shift from thinking of church just as a building or an organization or a denomination or just an event we do once or twice a week, and instead think of it as a place that is God's family, our first family. So I want to leave us this morning with 10 values, 10 values of church as a family. Number one, so very important, we learn names and we listen to stories. Absolutely everyone matters, and absolutely everyone has a story. We must realize and value that and help others see that value in themselves. Because we value others for who they were created to be in Christ. Names matter. Stories matter. Number two, we give serious attention to the spiritual, emotional, and physical care of God's people. In other words, we press into people gently and lovingly, just as God does us. So regarding that, where do you see yourself fitting into that? What's your role in the body? Because God made us unique on purpose. We all belong here. We all have a role here. So where do you feel like God has you or maybe wants to have you to help out with assisting the family? Number three, we focus on growth and maturity in Christ, not in numbers. The focus of growth needs to be on Christ, not on how many people walk through the door or how many seats are filled up on Sunday morning. Remember, the Lord gives the increase. God causes the growth. Next, we honor the aged and the young and everyone in between. So, if we look around here this morning, we want to celebrate, we want to honor and embrace all ages here. Because God's people bear fruit no matter their age or what season of lifetime they're in. So let's continue to value each other and cheer each other on in that. We all have a place here, always. Number five, we eat together more often. There's no Bible study. There's no ministry program. There's not enough money in all the world that could ever replace the value of sharing a meal together as a family. Bottom line on this, let's continue to have purposeful fellowship that honors Christ, and sharing a meal is one of the most meaningful ways to do that. We're going to be doing that in about a half hour together. Next, we celebrate more frequently. We should be celebrating more frequently. We can always rejoice in the Lord, that He's in control, and that we have a never-ending promise in Him. That's what all the songs were about this morning. We should rejoice and praise God for all the blessings in our lives. We can openly share that with our family, not only the trials, but also the blessings as well. Don't leave anything out. As a family, we can continually praise and celebrate Christ and His faithfulness in our life, no matter what we're facing. Next, we can be praying together more. We pray together. We pray for others, and we invite others to pray with us. And we should be doing this all the time. And that's something we need to cultivate here. We need to continue to cultivate prayer here at New Hope Fellowship. Because no church family rises higher than their praying. Next, we don't worry so much about being professional. Being a brother or sister in Christ means that we all have different roles. Not all of us need to or want to stand in the spotlight, and we don't have to all train to know the right answers to be a part of this body. Rather, it's about following Jesus. It's having a heart for Jesus and His people. Because Jesus takes ordinary people like you and I, and He changes the world through us. He takes men and women and makes them into life changers through His strength, through His power. Next, we remember our extended family. That means the churches around us in our community and believers in other countries. and especially those getting persecuted for their faith in Christ. May we continue to support them and reach out to them and intercede for them. And then finally, we love one another. Church as a family loves one another. Matthew 22, starting with verse 37, says, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The foolproof evidence of our devotion to Christ is our love, starting with our Christian brothers and sisters. So through these 10 things, our church can strengthen our identity as God's household. And make no mistake about it, this is an ongoing process to improve on all these things. We're not there yet. But I'm convinced that our church is a family. It can be our first family. And I also want to say this is not trying to diminish or downplay the importance of our responsibilities to our earthly families. In fact, a healthy church home is God's gift to any family. And I want my ministry, personally, to just be an extension of my living room at home. A church should be a great big family of grandparents and parents and brothers and sisters all working together with Christ in charge, with Christ in the lead. Because we are God's children. We are Christ's bride. We are Jesus' brothers and sisters. We are his family. We're all of these. We are a family. And my prayer is that when a visitor comes here for the first time, they will be able to say, "You know what? God is really thick in this place. I can really see that the people care for each other and love each other." So I pray that we can feel loved here. And then I pray that we can be ready to welcome and love other people in this church building and then outside the church building. We are a family here at New Hope Fellowship. And I think we know this, but I think we can also work on having that in the forefront of our mind and taking some practical steps, all of us here, that we can start cultivating that in an even deeper way. We are God's family. We are a family. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for our earthly families. Thank you for all the good memories. Lord, thank you for the good times. And Lord, you're there with us even through those hard memories, through some of the struggles, through some of the wounds. Lord, you can use all things to shape us for your good, for your kingdom. Thank you that nothing's wasted. Lord, also thank you for the provision, the awesome provision of making our church family, Lord, our family. Our first family, actually, Lord. Thank you for that. And I pray that we can start making that shift. And by doing that, Lord, I really believe that is going to help us love our brothers and sisters even more here at church and in our personal lives at home. Lord, work in us. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit to work that miracle in us. Let us cultivate that, develop that here one step at a time. And Lord, let us reach out then outside the church. So very important. Thank you, Lord, for your never-ending promises. Thank you, Lord, for never-ending promises. giving up on us and continually working through us, your household, your people. Lord, we praise you and we love you. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen.